Well, we'd like to go ahead and start the presentation this evening. Okay, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Right, for sure? You guys can hear this? Good. All right. Short set on. All right, well, we're very happy tonight that we could speak concerning something I think that is the most important thing as men we should know. a couple months ago, we had a series of presentations concerning the second coming of Christ. Is it fact or fiction? And I think at the end of those four presentations, there was definitely a very clear message that Jesus Christ will come again. And
Amen.
That it is definitely a fact. And there are many things today that we are seeing that are actually fulfilling what was prophesied in the Holy Scripture.
Yes.
Regarding this, not only the second coming of Christ, but also the second coming of Christ in a relatively shorter amount of time rather than much later. And we covered a lot of material in that time, and I think many who were there, who came to this series of presentations, came away awakened, realizing, wow, okay, something is going to happen. But we didn't have time to get in more specifically as relates to what we're going to talk this weekend concerning the matter of man's eternal destiny. And you know, this week when I was considering this topic, man's eternal destiny, I don't know if you realize, do we know what this definition of eternity means? Do we really know this? You know, if you look it up in the dictionary, eternity means having infinite duration without interruption. Now, you're thinking, okay, yeah, we know the dictionary definition, right? I think, you know, that's pretty clear. I read it to you. But we have to realize in our human thinking, in our mind, what we don't realize is, unconsciously, is we always think there's always an end. Like a child in the mother's womb. There's an end to it. 9 months, and the baby comes. And then if you're growing up, going to school, and let's say you go through college, that's 17 years to get your bachelor's degree. There's also an end there as well. And then if we have a career,
16 years.
Well, including kindergarten, it's 17. Okay. Right? So if you look at your career, right? Careers could be anywhere. You know, if you do a full one company career, it could be anywhere between 40, 50 years. But of course, in the days of these days, many people have two or three or even four careers before they actually finish working. But there, again, is always an end. And then with our human life, the average lifespan of anybody these days, you know, if you're very healthy, conscious of what you eat and exercise, maybe you'll live to 90, 95. But again, there's always an end. But this word eternity, you have to realize is there is no end. No end. As the definition says, having infinite duration without interruption. Now, if you really think about it and really consider your life, and you consider what's ahead of us, eternity, it's hard to wrap your mind around it. You can say, oh, John, I already know what eternity means. But do you really know? Because up to now, all of our experience tells us there's always an end to whatever. An end to this project. An end to this exam. An end to raising up children, right? We're almost empty nesters at our house. So there's always some kind of an end. So let this word really impress you. What is eternity? It's forever. without interruption. So having this understanding of the word, just really consider that. Then we need to come to the scripture to find out. Well, according to the Holy Scripture, the Bible, what is man's eternal destiny? Okay, and I'm asking this question because some of us may have different concepts based on how we were raised. You know, some of us may have been raised in Christian families. Others may be raised up in other religious groups. And some may not even know. And some may think, well, you know, after I die, I become a cow. Others say, well, when I die, I'll reincarnate as something else. And there's lots of concepts that are out there. But tonight, what we like to do is to bring it back to what is the Holy Scripture? What does God say the eternity? What is man's eternal destiny? And when you come to the Scripture, of course, the best place to find out the end of the conclusion of any book is where? In the very last chapter. Or in this case, in the last book of the Bible. And if we come to the end of the Bible, this is the book of Revelation. And you need to realize the book of Revelation, this word revelation, means it should be revealed to us. That means the book of Revelation should not be something that is scary to read. And we should never feel like that you could not understand the book of Revelation. God wrote Revelation with the specific intent that we all would see and understand what God's eternal destiny is for man. So when you get to the book of Revelation, you will see there are actually two eternal destinies laid out for man. The first one is this. In Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Vince, if you can read these verses to us. Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. What does it say?
And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Very good. Did you catch this? Jesus Christ, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us, and this is referring to man, kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion for what? Forever. Eternity. Not for 100 years, not for 1,000 years, but forever. Eternally. And if that's not clear enough, Revelation repeats itself again in chapter 5. So if you go to Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 and 10, Sarah, can you read this?
And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you are slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth."
So here it tells us even more. And have redeemed us to God by your blood, meaning the blood of Jesus, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, where? They shall reign on the earth. So it not only tells us of what man's eternal destiny is to be kings and priests, but it also tells us where on this earth. Not in heaven, but on this earth. Okay. I like the Bible because it's repetitious. Because if it wants to get a point across, it will repeat it and keep saying it. So let's go to Revelation chapter 20. And let's read verse 4 and verse 6. Sophia, can you read these two verses?
And I I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
Okay. So here again, you see what we will do. To be kings and priests, together with Christ, to rule. Again, this emphasis here is kings and priests. This is the destiny of men. Now, of course, you're saying, well, John, didn't you say it's forever? And why are these two verses referring to 1,000 years? That's because these two verses refer to an extra portion given to God's people who were faithful in this lifetime that we're in today. If we are faithful to him, we get to experience the reward of ruling and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years in his coming millennial kingdom age. That's the extra portion that we get before, ultimately, all of God's people ruling and reigning together with Christ for eternity. So, in just these four verses, I believe God has made it abundantly clear that this is desire. This is his desire for man to do. Okay? But we also need to see that there is also another path that man will take, which is also eternal. And this is in the same chapter, Revelation 20, verse 10 and verse 15. Timo, could you read these two verses?
Verse 10. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever.
Right. And verse 15?
Verse 15. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Right. So this is the other destiny, eternal destiny, that man faces. And this is to be put into the eternal lake of fire, together with the devil and all those who followed him. And again, this is also eternal. You need to realize the gravity of the situation. This is eternal. Meaning, there is no option to leave this place. I don't think we realize the gravity of this. I know growing up, when I really considered this, when I was in junior high school, I shook. I said, Lord, I don't want to. I want to be sure that I am in the right path. I don't want to be cast into the eternal lake of fire. I wanted to be sure right away. But today, do we live in this reality, in this consciousness? Right? If you have not yet received Christ, well, we're happy that you can come tonight, because you're investing about an hour of your time to determine what your eternal destiny will be. And if we have already received Jesus Christ, I'm sure you have many loved ones, friends, colleagues, who also are at this juncture. The question is, what fate would they take? Which destiny would they go? Consider that. If we've already received Jesus Christ as our Savior, then at least we know our destiny. To be kings and priests, to rule with Christ on this earth. But if our friends have not yet received this free gift from God, Jesus Christ, how do you feel about them going down the route of being in the eternal lake of fire? There should be a conviction within us Whether we already received him or not, this should be a conviction that we all live with, because we're talking about eternity. We're only spending about an hour's time investing to talk about this, but this 1 hour, or the time you spend with the people that you love, if they hear this, could determine their eternal destiny. This needs to make a very solid impression within us. I wouldn't want anybody to go down this path. Now you have to realize, the end of the book of the Bible, of the Holy Scripture, is consistent with the beginning of the Scripture. You have to realize that originally God's intention in the very start in Genesis chapter 1, if you go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, Jake, if you can read these verses. Chapter 1, verse 26.
Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth."
Right. This was God's original intention for man. God wanted us, man, to express him, to express all the wonderful attributes of God himself. Today, when you talk about God, everyone thinks about love. But have we ever considered that God is also righteousness and holiness? Not just love, but the foundation of God's kingdom is built on righteousness. And not man's standard of righteousness, but God's standard of righteousness. And this was what he intended for man. Not just to express him, but to also exercise his authority to rule and manage this earth today. That was God's intention for man. And during this time, after man was created, God just gave him one simple command. All he had to do was to follow this one simple command. What was it? Kyle, if you can turn to chapter 2 of Genesis and read verse 16 and 17.
And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "One every tree, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat.
Right.
But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. Mm-hmm. For in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die."
Right. One simple command. Of all the things to eat, you're free to eat anything and everything in the Garden of Eden except for the fruit of one tree. Isn't that a simple command? It should be pretty simple and straightforward. And all man had to do was just obey it. Simple as that. God didn't make it hard. I mean, just one simple command. But you have to realize God had an enemy, Satan. And in chapter 3, he came in the form of the serpent. The devil came in the form of a serpent. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 4, it says, "Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die.'" Man was deceived by a lie, a very simple lie. You will not surely die. Unfortunately, man fell for it. And then eventually, verse 13, the Lord God said to the woman, "What is it you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." Okay. So what we need to realize is through this one act of disobedience, sin entered into man. And in the book of Romans, Achim, if you can turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. What does it say there?
"Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sin."
Exactly. Right. Through one man's what? Disobedience. So, through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin. Now, obviously, when man partook of that fruit, did they die instantly? No, not physically speaking. But man was destined to die from that point forward. Right? We have to realize there is a big problem with sin. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it speaks about, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And today, if you look at the world situation, it's a real testament of what sin does. Even the best people, those who you revere as very good people, everyone has sinned, and we all come short of the glory of God. And you can already see this as evident in how we manage the natural resources today, and how we manage our governments today. Okay, maybe that's at a macro level. Let's think about your own room, your own house, your own family. How is it? Does it come close to the glory of God? So we have to realize that the evidence of sin is quite clear. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it tells us what the wages of sin is. In chapter 6, verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." We have to realize this is the wages of sin. And this curse was placed on man already back in Genesis chapter 3 because of man's disobedience. Dust of the earth, we will return. So this is a serious problem that man has. Now, again, as I said, was this what God intended for man? Definitely not. He did not go through all of what he did to create us just so that we would sin and totally bring this earth to destruction. No, that was not his intention. But because his enemy, Satan, the devil, came involved, this is what happened. And this is why today this world is a mess. But it's also good. God has a solution. This God who loves us had a very righteous solution. He did not just sweep everything under the carpet and say, "Ah, man, it's okay." No, he did not do that. We need to see what he did. So, Vince, can you read Romans chapter 5, verse 8 through 11?
"But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us."
Right.
"Much more than having now been justified by his blood,
yes,
we shall be saved from wrath through him."
Exactly.
"For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled,
right,
we shall be saved by his life."
Yes.
Amen.
"And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation."
Exactly. Amen. So we should realize this very righteous God who must hold to his own standard to condemn men to death, in his love that he demonstrated to us, he himself sent his son, Jesus Christ. And Christ, as a man, lived a sinless life. He was the first man to go through in his entire life without committing a sin. This is why, when he died, it says, "much more than having now been justified by his blood." Because his blood was sinless blood. Today, Jake, if you were to try and pay for the wages of your own sins, you would have to pay with your life. And that's it. Vince can't die for you because his blood is not sinless. None of us can die for one another. That's why all the other religions don't work. You may say all religions are good. I would say, okay, maybe all religions are good. But no religion can do what Jesus Christ did, which was to shed innocent blood to pay for your sins and my sin. No other religion can do this. Buddha can't do it. Muhammad can't do it. All the Jewish leaders, Pharisees and Sadducees, they can't do it. Nobody can do it. Not even the best reverends and pastors can do it, because we all have what? We all have sin. This is why only God, as Jesus Christ, can uniquely do that. And by his blood, we have been justified, because our sins, the debt that we owe to God, has been taken away. That's why we were justified by his blood. And it goes on, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Meaning, we are now no longer on this path for the eternal lake of fire. This is important. And you know, you have to realize, when man disobeyed God in the garden and believed the serpent, man aligned himself with God, and thus we became enemies. Aligned himself with the devil, and thus man then became enemies to God. That's why this verse shows us even more. It's a serious matter. If we live because of sin, and that's not so bad, you know. But to not realize that we were also enemies to God, that's pretty serious. But, again, through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled. Because by his blood, our sins were forgiven. And now we are justified with God. And now we are brought back to God. Not only that, we are also saved by his life.
Amen.
Now remember, the sins that we committed, that's offenses. So God took care of that by the shedding of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. But he not only did that, but because eventually he wants us to become kings and priests, we also were then saved by his life. This is a matter of life.
Yes.
And that's why we have to realize salvation from our Lord Jesus Christ is not only that our sins are forgiven, but it's that we've been given his life, his eternal life. Right? And eventually, what God is looking for, ultimately, is for men who would be obedient to him. And God took the lead by being the example of Jesus Christ. When you go to Romans chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, I'll read this to you. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Okay, this is what Adam did. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, but as also by one man's obedience many were made righteous. You have to realize that Jesus Christ was the only man up to that point in time that was obedient to God in every commandment. Not just that one commandment, but in every commandment that was written in the old covenant. Only one man fulfilled all of the righteous requirements of God. And this man is Jesus Christ. And this is why through one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. You notice this phrase, will be made righteous. Meaning, for us, if we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, where our sins are forgiven, but it's also a process to get us to becoming righteous. That's why it says, will be made righteous. Because for us to become kings and priests today, are you righteous enough, Timo, to be a king and a priest in God's kingdom according to his standard? No. What you need is his life. to perfect you, to change you, so that you can be qualified. That's why it says, we'll be made righteous. And what we have to begin to realize is, this is a matter of receiving another life. God's life. That's why in John chapter 3, Sophia, if you can read John chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. It's good to read these verses. Always good to see what the scripture says.
Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God.
Right.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again."
Exactly.
"The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit."
Exactly. So the matter of being a Christian is a matter of being born of another life. God didn't want to just only have our sins forgiven to take care of all of man's sin, but his goal is that we would also be born of God, so that we could be born into his kingdom. And in John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, it goes on, it says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So we should begin to realize this is a matter of being born into God's family, to be born of his life, which ultimately qualifies us to become kings and priests that he speaks about in the book of Revelation. Right? So this is important. Now, how is it that we can become a child of God? How is it that we can enter into this marvelous kingdom of God? Do you have to then go through a course? Take a test? Okay, then you have to go through seminary. In the city of Tübingen. The seminaries of all seminaries. Is that how you qualify to become a child of God? Absolutely not. That's far from what the scripture says. That's what I'm saying. No religion can solve this problem, which we saw very clearly. You need sinless blood to take care of that. And no religion can ever solve this problem of the sinful acts of men, because you need another life. And this life we have to receive. And God makes it very simple for us to receive this life. Mark 16:16. What does this verse say, Kyle? Mark 16:16. This is a very important yet simple verse. Simple yet important verse. Mark 16:16.
"He who believes and is baptized will be saved."
Yes.
"But he who does not believe will be condemned."
Right. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Praise God for making it simple for us. He didn't have us go through hoops to receive his life. In fact, this matter of believing, Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, makes it even more simple. Jake, if you can read these verses, Romans 10, 9 through 10.
"That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved."
Exactly.
"For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation."
Exactly. So the matter of believing is a matter of both believing and confessing. Meaning you have to confess. You have to speak to God. That's why it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Now, of course, when you say the word Lord Jesus, you obviously will need to believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Otherwise, you're just saying the words, you know, you mouth it. Lord Jesus. Hey, even the devil knows that there's Jesus Christ. But the question is whether or not we would exercise faith to believe in our heart that God is raised from the dead when we confess his name. So what this verse really means is, be simple. When you pray, talk to him and mean it. Don't just say empty words. But when you confess his name, really speak it to him. This is the first step. And then the second half is the matter of being baptized. Romans 6:4 says, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We have to realize that the matter of baptism, we're talking about being baptized literally, physically into the water, but with the reality, the faith of the Holy Spirit, that you're being baptized into Christ. So Mark 16:16 is important because in the matter of believing and confessing, we are receiving Jesus Christ into our spirit. But the matter of being baptized is the matter of being put into Christ, into this wonderful organic union. This is what will qualify us to enter into the kingdom of God. And remember, this is a free gift from God. In that verse that I quoted earlier, Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. Now the second half of the verse reads like this, but the gift or free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So you have to realize this is a gift from God. God has done so much and made it so easy. It's a gift. And he's presented to you. Right? Kyle, if I were to give you this as a gift to you, what do you do?
Read it.
Take it, and then yeah, you can read it, right? Okay? But what if you want to give it to me, right? Give it to me, but I don't want it. Now what's Kyle going to do?
Sorry. Give it to someone else.
Give it to someone else. Right? He can't force it upon me, right? Come on, John, you got to read this, right? If I don't want it, I don't want it. So you have to realize that God has presented to each one of us a free gift. And this free gift is eternal life. And this eternal life is what brings us into the kingdom of God. And that will set us on this path to what Revelation said. Eventually, we would become kings and priests to God and Father.
Amen.
Forever. Right, this is why in 1 Thessalonians, now this verse we all need to turn to. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And let's read verse 9 together. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you get that?
Yes.
God made it very clear. It was never his intention to appoint us to his wrath. Meaning, that eternal lake of fire that we read at the beginning of this 50-minute talk, that lake of fire was intended only for the devil and all of his demons, all of the fallen angels, and all those who followed him. It was never originally intended for man.
Right.
That's why it says, God did not appoint us to this wrath. But it goes on, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This was God's intention. That's why, in other references, God said, God desires all men to be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth. And so this is what God intended. This is man's eternal destiny. Right? We all need to ask the Lord, Lord, reveal this to us. If we have not yet received such a wonderful person, Christ, then we need to receive it. Receive him. But if we already received him, then we need to be made aware of what our destiny is. Our real destiny. Right, tonight was just the first half of the answer to what is man's eternal destiny. Now, once you become a child of God, then we're on the way to the road of becoming kings and priests. But to get there, there's also more that the scripture shows us. And this is what we will talk about tomorrow. Because the next question that might be in your head is, my goodness, if there are so many Christians today, I know a lot of Christians, but I would not want them to rule and reign in the coming kingdom with Christ because of all of their unrighteous acts that they've done. And then, okay, instead of pointing finger at others, you might look at yourself and go, I don't know if I'm qualified to rule. And Jake, do you feel like you're qualified to rule in God's righteousness over the entire city of Laguna Niguel? No. Okay, but maybe you are, because you know the area. You're the real estate agent. You know everything, right? Would you be qualified to rule?
No.
No. I don't think any of us would ever feel that way. And we need to realize that once we are born of God, we are children of God. Just as in any family, every father wants to see their children grow up to mature so that they can bear responsibility in this human life. Well, we need to realize that our God and Father also has the same intention. Not only were we born of God, our destiny is to become kings and priests, to be reigning together with Christ in the coming kingdom age. So definitely, once we receive such a wonderful gift, our destiny is not to go Sunday after Sunday just to listen to sermons and for 2 hours, and then the rest of the week we just kind of live on our own. No, there's something much more. And this is what we'll spend some time tomorrow to speak about. But tonight, the main thing that we need to be really clear about is, what is man's eternal destiny? This is a very serious question to ponder. If we have not yet received, then we better be sure. But if we have already received, and we know others who have not yet received, then we better help them to receive.
That's right.
And this is why it's so important. And also on us individually, if we already have received Christ, then we need to find out, well, what do we need to do to become kings and priests? It's definitely not what you would say that we've learned in tradition of man. But when we come to the scripture, when we come to the very holy scripture of what God speaks, he will make it very clear to us. And this is why it's important to come to the Holy Scripture by the Spirit. God does not want to leave anything as a mystery to us, but he wants to make it very clear to us. So may we really see what our eternal destiny is. And we pray that not only all of us here, but all those who we care about, who we love, will also be on the same path of this goal that God wants for man to become kings and priests to God and Father in his kingdom forever and ever. Praise the Lord.